I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to present a few thoughts that have been on my mind. I said something to Mark a while back, and he related to his dad that I needed to talk to say a few things. And as I started to, I actually had thought about what I was going to speak on a long time ago, and it seemed like the further I got into thinking about what I was going to say, the wider it got. But you think about choices and decisions, and these are two things that we do every day, every hour, and even every minute of our lives. Some of them are very minute decisions that we have to make or choices. Others can't be changed once we've made them. So I want to look at just a few things and start out really with a simple thing of like we get up in the morning and the clothing that we wear. Now, if we shop wisely, then we have the clothes that we need. You think about now as a Christian, how are we presenting ourselves to the people around us in the way that we dress? It's very important that we do this. I know the chapel has some pretty stringent rules that we abide by, like me having to wear this tie here tonight. And I think it's not a bad thing. An elder stands up in front of us, and he is a person that we look to as for direction. He's someone that we want to pattern ourselves after. Our Sunday school teachers are the same way. The way the men dress and the ladies too is a reflection on our chapel. And if our children are to look up to them, then they should dress properly so that they project what we believe here. Clothing is not quite as important as the food we eat. And these are just two things that I thought about. If mom goes off, or dad, ever who does the grocery shopping, and she brings home, or he brings home, nutritious foods, they're cooked, and then when they're eaten, we have a healthier person. So food is important in our lives. But something is just a little more important than this. And our brother Mark has covered this in his speaking to us the last 5 or 6 weeks, his marriage. He pretty well covered it, but one thing that I would like to emphasize, at least to the ones that aren't married yet, selecting a person that you want to spend the rest of your life with is next to the most important question, I think, that I'll ask you tonight. When you think about when you're standing before God and one of the elders and the person that you're going to marry, you're looking at this person. Is this really somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with? I think that as young people with godly parents, and most of you here do have godly parents, that they would be the first person that you would go to seek counsel on someone that you were thinking about marrying. Let me digress just a second. To think You should never, in my opinion, even think about dating or hanging out with an unsaved person. Not if you're considering them as a mate. So to ask your parents for their advice. And then another thing, if you know, you should know the parents of the person that you're considering marrying or even dating. Look at the parents and the grandparents. Because the person that you're looking at is a product of those parents. And there's a good chance that what you're getting is what they are. So consider it, Cyril, that and the most important question that I'll ask you tonight is, what will you do with Christ? And as I thought of this question, my mind went back to what Pilate asked the Jews, and not exactly in these words, but there's about 6 or 7 verses where he's trying to get out of what he's doing because he can't find any fault in Christ. But he asked the question, what will you do with Christ? What will you do with this man, Christ? And the choice that they made, the decision they made that day, they're living with today. They said, let his blood be on us and on our children. The Jews have been dispersed all over the world, and they've been persecuted almost everywhere they went. So the decision they made some 2,000 years ago, they're still living with. But I would ask us today, tonight, what will we do with Christ? Now, most of the people in the room are probably saved people. But if there's one here tonight who doesn't know Christ, that would be my question to you. What will you do with Christ whenever the Holy Spirit troubles your heart and causes you to see that you're lost? I believe with all my heart, and this is something that I've come to a conclusion from my study, is that an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, and an omnipresent God would never trouble a person's heart if he didn't know that he would accept him. Now, I was thinking about it as I pondered this question. Why would I ever ask one of my children to do a task for me that I knew would be impossible for him to do? Why would God ever trouble my heart if he knew this wasn't the time? In my own life, I went to work one morning, worked my day, never gave God a thought. Drove home that evening, went by a couple of places that I usually enjoyed hanging out with some people. But I drove on home in the carport, went in the house, didn't turn the lights on, went in, sat down in my lounge chair. And it's just like the Holy Spirit said to me, David, up to this time, you haven't done too well, have you? Now, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And there was a night that he troubled my heart, and I accepted him as my Savior. And I've heard testimonies of other people that the Lord did the same for them. And there's two people in the Old Testament that I looked at their lives, and one of them I thought was going to do me a little better than what he did. But Noah and Abraham. And I looked at Noah, and in Genesis, the 6th chapter, and in the 5th verse, it reads, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." Does that kind of remind you of what's going on around us today? And I was thinking about, and then if you skip on down to the 9th verse, and the last part of it actually, Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now here, if you look at what happened up in verse 5, and then you skip down here and you say, well, is this person living in the same country with the rest of these people? But then I thought this walk with God, and I remembered another man that God told us he walked with. And then if you go back over into chapter 5 and verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. And if you just look down through the next few verses, you'll see that Enoch was Noah's great-great-grandfather. So, I'm going to run out of time here before I even get started. Noah probably had passed down to him the sacrificing that God started with Cain and Abel, so that they made sacrifices. I don't know when they did it, because the law hadn't been given yet. But they sacrificed to the Lord whenever they thought they needed to. So Noah probably had this passed down to him. Now Abraham, over in the 10th chapter, I believe it is. No, it's the 12th chapter. And it tells about when God went to... So let's go back to Noah just a second. I could see why when God troubled his heart and caused him to build the ark, why he did it. But then I was thinking about Abraham. Why would Abraham, living in a heathen country, when God spoke to him, why would he? Because he had, so far as we can see, he had no influence on him as a godly influence. He had nobody to influence him. So we go back to this thing of when the Lord spoke to my heart, he had made my heart ready to accept him that night. And like I think David maybe alluded to it earlier, whenever you're saved, when you're truly saved, you're going south and all of a sudden you're headed back north. There's going to be a change in your life. Everybody around you is going to see it. Because for 40 years now, he has made a difference in my life. My want to has changed. And when your want to gets changed, you're going to do different. Now these people have been to revivals, and I'm digressing from what I was going to say, but I've seen people go to revivals and these hellfire and damnation. And I was raised up in a Methodist church. They preach this. You make a false profession, just a short time later, you're right back out there doing what you was doing before. But when God saves a man, at that particular time, when he has spoke to your heart, it makes a difference. So Abraham, I feel like when God spoke to Abraham, he had already spoke to his heart. So he was willing to leave his home, a house now, a 75-year-old man, with his wife and his brother's son, Lot, and his dad, and travel the rest of his life living in a tent. God does a work, he does a good one. And he did a good one on him. Just give me a minute here, but I was thinking about earlier, we've got at least one family here that has the fourth generation sitting here up in the chapel. So the things that Grandpa believed, he's passed it down to their granddaddy and then and on to the children. Somebody sat down 150 years ago and started this movement that we're part of by going back and looking at the way the Scriptures said that we should do. And folks, I guess the center of what I'm trying to get across tonight is, please, let's keep doing what we're doing. Not let our standards down. If we let our standards down, we're going to lose our children that way. If we hold to our standards and we lose our children that way, then we've done the best that we could do. Steve Green wrote a song, and I won't do the whole thing since I'm already out of time, but we're pilgrims on a journey on a narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us. Let us leave to those behind us a heritage of faithful passing through godly lives. May all who've gone before us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their ways. And that's my prayer for everyone here, that we stick true to what we know the truth to be. And that's God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time we've had tonight, for our praise for what you've done for us. Lord, we do know that you're faithful. And for those who have lost loved ones and are praying for them, don't give up. God is faithful. Thank you for our time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.